everybody. Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to dunk the cookie that is tourism media buying. I don't know what that means, but now I want a cookie.
I was going to say, I don't know it. Either, but now we need cookies.
Cookies and milk. That tells you where my brain's at today. Yeah. I'm just hungry for sweets.
Afternoon slump. It's about that time. It's like 3 o'clock. Yep. Cookie time.
Cookie time. Sasha, what have you been up to lately? Have you got any good stories for us?
Oh, gosh. Well, I try to tell stories in the past, and then you tell me that they're bad. So I feel like I don't know
what. Well, last time it was like enchiladas.
I know, it's like
something.
Not a story. No, if I tell something today, it would be along those same lines. So what about you? Do you have any interesting stories?
I won't tell you about what I ate for lunch, but. You know, I did recently go visit Chicago, have some family that lives out there. And every time I visit, I'm like, this city is just beautiful. And yeah, Chicago's awesome. And everyone should go. That's my story.
Okay. What I care about is what you ate while you were there. So give me a lay of the land in your food tour.
Well, it was for my niece's birthday, and she turned one. So, nice. Not like we got out a whole lot with the family.
I get that.
We got a lot in. So got some deep dish.
Yes.
They're a Lou Malnati's family. So did that. They don't do the Giordano's thing.
Just
a personal preference. So did that, did some sushi. That was really good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only ever had Giordano's, and I've always wanted to try Lou Malnati's because I've heard from probably more people that favor Lou Malnati's. But I know it's like an ongoing feud in Chicago. Like, which are you? You can't be both. You're one or the other.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
I think I've had Giordano's once.
So what's your take on the comparison?
I've had Lou's so many times, I can't even remember what Giordano's was like. So.
Ah.
Lose it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. That's on my list at some point in life. Get back there and try lose.
Yes. I mean, you can order it online.
Yeah, but is it the same though? I mean, I can't imagine it's the same.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
All right. Yeah.
They're not a sponsor of this episode, but I will endorse you ordering their food.
Okay.
From the internet.
All right. Yeah. I will check that out.
Okay. Well, Sasha, so today, you know, I was doing my thing, you know, doing my research as a good media buyer does, trying to understand the landscape in which we're living. And I came across an interesting study, or a survey, I should say, that American Express did back in February. And I think, you know, even though it's been a while since that survey happened, I think there's a lot we can learn from it. So I kind of wanted to dig into some of the stats and then maybe pick your brain about some things that, you know, maybe destinations should do from it.
Yeah, let's do it.
With what they learned. And I know, okay, we prep for these things. You've been looking at the survey too. So don't pretend like you haven't. I know you have.
It might not come across that we've prepped, but we did. Contrary to popular belief, we did prep.
It's true. Okay, so this is American Express's 2022 Global Travel Trends Report. So looking at the very fine print at the very bottom of the report, just so we all know what we're talking about here. This survey was conducted February 3rd through 11th, 2022, among a national sample of 2,000 U.S. survey takers and 1,000 travelers in Japan, Australia, Mexico, India, UK, and Canada, all of whom who have at least a household income of $70,000 and defined as adults who typically travel by air at least once per year.
Okay.
Results from this survey has a margin of error of plus or minus 3%. So,
pretty
statistically small, but statistically valid.
Okay. Thank you for that. I feel official.
Yeah, this is legit.
Too legit.
But no,
You're not gonna finish it?
Too legit to not quit. What? No, to quit. What?
Too legit to
quit. I messed that up.
Too legit.
Oh, boy.
It's okay. It's all right. You were close.
Okay, so, Sasha, we've both looked at this. I'm going to say one of the things that really stood out to me, if I may. May I?
Yes.
Okay, I think one of the things that really stood out to me from this survey was that so many people want to make travel this year extra memorable. Like, they've been pent up for a couple of years. Maybe they've started to go visit family from time to time, as I recently just did, but now people are ready to like actually hit some of their bucket list. So 86% of respondents to the survey said they expect to spend more or at least the same on travel in 2022 compared to a typical year before the pandemic. So they're ready to invest in a trip. Another 65% of respondents agree that they would rather take their dream vacation than purchasing a new car.
That's cool.
That's cool. I'm a car guy, but, you know, I think with the way car prices are these days,
I was going to
a
say,
vacation might be a better investment.
I was going to say the exact same thing with the way that prices are going. No one can afford a car anymore. Only one trip.
Yeah, take a trip instead of buying that new car. Now it's not the time to buy a car. Yeah, so I thought those two things were super interesting, that people are feeling confident enough to really, really want to commit to something bucket listy.
Yeah, I like that. I think it is interesting for sure. I think if I'm looking from, you know, a destination marketer standpoint, I'm going through what's available in my destination and considering how I could channel that desire in travelers, that bit of a shift, because I don't think we've really seen that stat as prominent here. You know, there's always that percentage looking for that, but this is more, way more widespread. So I think that is something to really consider.
Yeah. So I don't know if we should bunny trail into that yet, or should we talk about more of the stats, or what do you think? We're being super fluid today.
I love the stats. Let's hit some of those.
And then we can come back to this.
Yeah. Let's get our lay of the land and then dig a little deeper.
Okay. What else stood out to you?
Okay, so 62% are taking 2 to 4 trips, which is interesting. That was a little higher than I anticipated. I mean, I'm pleased to see that travel is expanding past pre-pandemic levels. But even beyond that, we're booking 2 to 4 trips per traveler.
Okay.
The high majority. So at least majority, 62%, the majority, which was cool to see.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, pretty dang solid. You already touched on this, but 72% say they're spending more in 2022 on domestic trips specifically. You already touched on that a little bit, but
well, I touched on like the overall spending, but if 72% of like
for domestic,
mm-hmm. That's so what you're saying is we don't necessarily have to be focused necessarily on like the international travelers. People domestically are still willing to spend more.
You bet. Yep, you bet. So I think that domestic market is still just as important as ever, with 72% wanting to spend so much, which is great news for all of our DMO partners, destination marketing officers, and our media planners and buyers.
I don't know about you, but I can just I can feel the internal greed a little bit.
You're getting
give
excited.
Me all your money.
Yeah.
Give it.
And then we will give you a return on investment.
I was talking more about the travelers, but I mean, they'll get something back
I'm
from their investment.
I'm talking about our partners.
Oh, okay.
And then we will all win.
Well, we know that our partners should give the money to digital, though.
Okay.
Because it's going to be more effective.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We always arrive to this point. It's just a matter of when we will arrive. 10 minutes in, roughly.
And you're not even fighting it. This is great.
I know. I'm like too jazzed about these stats. They're great stats.
Okay, keep going then. Keep going. Sorry.
No, but this is cool too. 81% want to be immersed in the culture of the place that they're traveling to, and they even want their money to go back to the local community, which is great. Like, if you're looking for a stat to share with your stakeholders, that will excite every single one of them, I feel like. Immersing in the culture and then giving back.
Yeah, I think this is surprising and not surprising at the same time. You know, like we've heard for years, and myself included, you know, we all like to travel like a local and experience the place like the people that live there and not always do the resort stay or whatever and actually feel like we're part of the place we're visiting. But this is such a high percentage, and the percentage of people who want to see their money supporting the local community and making travel decisions based on that, I think it's crazy cool.
I agree. 81% shocked me. I agree with you. That was a lot higher than I thought, because we're hearing this a lot, and there's always that group that advocates for this, but certainly not 81% in what we've seen in the past. That's a pretty high percentage.
Right. And, you know, along those lines, 62% of respondents agree that they want to be more thoughtful about where and how they travel. So I think maybe this is somewhat of an impact of maybe a little bit of that travel responsibly messaging that the industry's been pushing lately, along with Leave No Trace type campaigns. The fact that it's more top of mind to be traveling thoughtfully, that's really cool.
I agree.
So, Sasha, next time you travel, don't just litter out of your rental car everywhere you go.
Okay? Who do you think I am, Josh?
I ask myself that question every day. Who are you?
No, but we also see a lot of like overcrowding in certain areas. Like, we have a lot of partnerships, you know, with destinations that have national parks. And I don't know, I thought along that same line, like people are being more thoughtful and maybe planning, just considering new factors to their travel. And maybe that is one that would be a positive change. And this article doesn't outline that specifically, but it's curious to think about. I'm just interested to think about that a little bit too.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, if people are thinking this way, and if this survey is truly representative of the public at large, I think, you know, those destinations that are dealing with visitor distribution problems, maybe being more straightforward in talking about that in your marketing might not be as scary of an idea as we once thought it was. Like, we've talked a lot with our clients about different ways to get people to move from the popular places to experience more of the destination and distribute those visitors more. Maybe we can be a little more direct with our message and say, hey, like, ecologically and for the local community, you really should experience more than just this thing.
Yeah. No, you bet. And where travelers are planning more purposefully, that makes me think that they are taking the time to seek out their surroundings beyond that one national park or that one destination that might be on their bucket list. They're thinking about how they can utilize their time. It's the perfect time to redistribute some of that traffic to other locations. I mean, they are traveling for their bucket list item. They're going to do that. But if they're thinking purposely and planning their trip to be smart with just their path and their time and what they want to accomplish as much as they can, then it just all makes sense that they might be,
it does.
They might be exploring beyond that, that one, you know, whatever your wow attraction is or wow factor is.
Yeah, that is super cool. I'm also thinking, you know, I know a couple of our clients, especially during the early stages of the pandemic, were doing more story-driven content about local business owners and how their lives are impacted by tourism and, or at the time, the lack thereof. And I'm wondering if people are talking about wanting to make sure their money goes back to the local community, that maybe more of those like local stories are going to be more important to marketing campaigns this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Your messaging needs to match the new consumer demand or consumer desire. And so I totally agree with you. That desire, like we said, it's just being immersed in the culture and giving back to the local community, which is great. And if I think if so many people want to be immersed in the culture, it was 81%, right? Yeah, 81%. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're thinking about being immersed, yeah, I just feel like they'll be more considerate and drawn towards, like, I don't know, it's just a win-win all around. Because if I'm the destination marketing officer and you're incorporating that type of verbiage in your messaging and you're really sharing those local stories, the hope is that those travelers will be, like you said, just respectful and truly immersed, like you said, like leave no trace, that sort of thing. So yeah, it all ties in together and I like it.
Yeah, thinking back to our conversation late in 2021 with Sedona, I think if anything, this is validation for them that they can be aggressive with that responsible travel message, and then it's not going to turn off the travelers who are coming.
Yeah, you bet, because travelers are now mindful, if not seeking this out, which is great.
Yeah. So very when you cool. see that other 19% of people being douchey on their travel, can we call them out? Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do
Sometimes
it.
I want to.
Let's do it. one more thought though, too, that I was just thinking about, like, if, again, just going back to people wanting to be immersed in the culture, I feel like part of that will tie back into also the overcrowding issue, because if I'm immersed in the culture in a destination, I'm exploring the local areas. Like, I'm going beyond the, you know, I don't know, what is it? I'll go a little off the beaten path, that mm-hmm. saying. So, anyways, those kind of just go hand in hand. Like, people are going to be exploring, planning better, more purposefully. They're hitting their bucket list, and then they're maybe like perusing more than they have before.
Yeah, probably going beyond the national parks, major tourist attractions, and experiencing more. Hopefully, that would also mean avoiding restaurant food chains and focusing more on
local
restaurants and those local experiences.
You bet. And that's interesting because on one hand, we're saying, hey, market to the bucket list, the once-in-a-lifetime travelers. But then also that group might be planning more purposely and wanting to immerse in the culture. And you might be able to message some of your attractions that you've always wanted to get more traction to. So there might be a fine line to toe there, or just some thought that needs to go into that messaging and how it's developed.
Well, that's a great transition, Sasha. So let's go back, if you don't mind, to talk about that first stat I brought up about, you know, people willing to spend more to do something that's going to be extra memorable. Mm-hmm. I think how can we as media buyers help people see that our destination is what they're looking for?
That's such a loaded question.
I know, and especially because we're not talking about a specific destination. But
yeah, I think we've talked about this a lot, but it really is understanding your audience. And as we share with you, you know, these statistics for this year and a little bit about the changing desires, the changing demand of travelers, I think it just goes back to understanding how that affects your current target audience. Like, how could these tactics tie into what you've already gleaned about your visitor? You know, maybe mm-hmm. you do know that a certain type of visitor always comes to experience your bucket list attraction, you know, or your once in a lifetime attraction. Maybe that is a different target audience than the target audience that is so wrapped up in being immersed in the culture. Maybe you start to see those audiences expand to want to do both. And then you have, you know, a dual type message. So I don't know, it's nuanced, but I think it goes back to looking at your target audience and really trying to pick up on what is happening this year. How have you seen that shift? You know, if you have that data, and then just messaging accordingly.
Yeah, I think because I'm just the perfect example. I think that I'm a bit sarcastic, by the way, in case that wasn't clear.
I'm so used to it. I'm just like, okay, all right.
I think there's like I think it actually could be really easy to target those bucket listers and those
Okay,
culture seekers at
let's
the
hear
same
it.
time. So, for example, the very first time I went to New York City, I was really excited because I always wanted to go to New York City. I had dreams of being a writer and being part of the
Did you?
culture of New York City. Oh
Okay.
yeah, that's a story for another podcast. But so I was really excited when I got to go. And of course, we hit some of the big tourist highlights. We went to see Central Park, we walked through Times Square and did all that kind of stuff. But it was not those things that I remember the most fondly about that first visit to New York City. The stuff that really stands out to me was going to this little Italian restaurant, hole in the wall place that had like a mob history, and it was
That's cool.
deep local culture without being like a huge tourist destination. And then there
Nice.
was also like we hung out at with the White Horse Tavern in Manhattan, which was a hangout for a lot of like the Beat Poets and Bob Dylan back in the 60s, and that kind of was more like what I was looking for personally, but it was not like what you think about when you think about the reasons you go to New York City as a tourist. It was those little micro local deep things that were so cool. So I think you can attract people with those big things, but then encourage them to experience the depth of the destination beyond just like the flashy stuff.
As you're talking, in some cases, your bucket list attraction, if you have one, it might already be attracting the visitor. So maybe the focus is on the local integration and stories because they're going to come anyways. I mean, someone that wants to see the Statue of Liberty, they're going to see it. They're going to New York, they're going to see it. It just depends how long they stay, what else they spend and where else they go while they're there. And so maybe more education on the local just culture and that emphasis could be where the messaging lives. I don't know, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, so let's if I may take this into a media planning kind of conversation. So maybe where some of this needs to go is maybe you have that big attracting item. How do you then reach the people who have decided to come for that big attraction and get them to move around?
I think you have to get maybe a little more granular if you're going to reach people who have already booked, right? I think some OTAs can definitely do that. People that have interest in the area that they're coming or the area that you want them to come to or surrounding areas, like they could tell you if a customer has already booked, right? And then you're hitting them with some retargeting ads that portray the message of maybe the culture or the stories or what else they could do there, but I know you have a wealth of ideas on this, Josh. What tactics are coming to mind for you?
I mean, you hit kind of the direction I was going to go. It's a matter of identifying the people who have high intent to show up already or have already booked in some way. So
Yep.
I think part of it is, Google has intent-based audiences for people who are choosing to travel to certain areas. So, we're in Utah, they have an audience for people who have an intent to travel to Salt Lake City. So we know they're interested. They're probably going to come if they're already identified as someone interested in coming. Now let's serve them a deeper message about what else they can do. You mentioned OTAs. I think their intent-based audiences are really strong. So I think providing messages to encourage people to do more that way would be very cool. I would also say that if you're one of the lucky destinations to have a booking engine on your site, make sure that those who are booking through your own engine are opting into marketing messages. So then you can email to them in that window before they come to tell them more about what they can experience and what they can do. And then this is probably a topic for a whole other episode, and maybe one that we should do, which would be focused on in destination messaging for tourists. So taking people who are going to those big attractions and who are already there and getting them to move on to somewhere else.
Yeah, I like it. And you mentioned capturing email addresses of those with the intention to book or are interested in coming to your location. And we also talked about how people are taking 2 to 4 trips this year. And so I think there might be an opportunity for return travel to really focus on those who have already come to your destination and maybe marketing to them via your email database, encouraging return trips and, you know, maybe more to explore type messages. So that might be interesting as well to look at this year.
Sasha, that's a great idea. I'm so proud.
We're being so friendly this episode.
I know. No, that's a really good idea. And I know with like, if you or your agency has some programmatic ad platform capabilities, ask them if they can get access to Foursquare. Foursquare has, this is another non-sponsored pitch, but I love their audience building tool, because what you can do is you can take a geofence, either as tight as like a single physical location or a radius of some sort, and capture devices that have been in that place but do not live there. And you can even set like how far back they were there. Was it a year ago? Was it 6 months ago? Was it last week? And retarget those people. So I think that's a great idea, especially for like drive market types. If you get a lot of drive market traffic, and it wouldn't be that hard to convince somebody to come back for a little 2-hour drive and hang out some more, like, absolutely do it.
Yeah, you bet. That's awesome. Some cool technology that's available.
Right?
Yep. That's way cool. Well, what else, Josh? What else did we want to double tap on from some of these travel trends?
Double tap. Well, Sasha, I think we should probably mention some of the cool stats around the evolution of family travel, but because I don't believe in family, you should probably talk about it.
Oh gosh, harsh, Josh. I'm going to tell. Is Emily listening? Your wife right now? Emily, did you hear that?
It was a joke. It was a joke.
No, but you're absolutely right in that family travel is huge this year. People are looking to reconnect. I mean, they've missed those bonds and that tie that they have with their family. And whether it be for, so events, family type events are picking back up, whether it's family reunions, weddings, those are back. So people are traveling for that. And then they're also just wanting to travel with their family members specifically. So hopefully that means for our travel this year, more spending, right? More heads in beds, more rooms, hopefully more people and more money spent on each trip.
Yeah, bigger groups for sure. One of the interesting stats that popped out to me related to family travel was that 58% of respondents agree that they are more interested in multi-generational family trips than ever before.
Interesting. And
I remember back when I was a kid, did some trips with my parents and my grandparents, but that hasn't happened for decades. And then magically this year, my in-laws, my wife's parents, are wanting to plan a multi-generational family trip over the Christmas holiday. So I'll go out to some destination somewhere and hang out for the holidays. So that anecdotally, that seems very true, just because I know people talking about it.
Yeah. Where are you guys going?
We haven't fully decided yet, but somewhere East Coast, maybe Savannah or Charleston or something like that.
Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah, that's cool. How funny. So you are living as one of these statistics, Josh.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Nice. So the last thing I think we can talk about as part of this chat today is that travelers are finding their new normal. So we're seeing that 72% are embracing travel in this pandemic age. Like, we know the pandemic hasn't really, you know, went away, but they're accepting that there is some uncertainty, and they're accepting that in their travel planning and in their trips, to be able to enjoy their ideal vacations. So they're saying, hey, we're finding a new normal. this isn't going to stop us. We're carrying forward, which is so nice to hear because that was back and forth for a while there. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really encouraging for this year.
It is. It feels like we might be starting to move on or learning to live with COVID. And
yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yep. Finding out what that means for everybody. But anyways.
For sure.
Nice. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, this was a great conversation. I thought it was interesting. I think there's probably even more we could have dove into. So I think we should make sure to get a link to this survey into the show notes yes. So that you all listening can dive into it and dissect and interpret yourselves.
Awesome. Hopefully it was helpful.
Yeah, hopefully. And Sasha didn't offend anyone with something she might have said.
I feel like I'm the least likely to offend. We all know it's going to be you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Josh, where can our listeners find us?
We are on Instagram and LinkedIn and occasionally TikTok.
You got
Rarely it. Rarely TikTok.
Rarely TikTok. Working on TikTok.
I think we've said that for 3 months now.
Yep.
That's okay.
Yep.
It's still in the works.
Everything's fine. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Buh-bye.